Boy, welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, Rush 89 FM in Hamilton, GorillaMedia.co.nz and whatnot. And there's a whole bunch of affiliated truther sort of people all over the show. And I always like to give plug play to those people who you generally probably won't know who they are, never heard from them before. Unless, of course, you're involved in the activist circles upon which they are participated. One such person is Jade Tuckwell, and he joins us on the line now from Wellington 911 Truth. He's their web guy. Jade, welcome to the Vinny Eastwood Show.
Yeah, hi. How's it going?
Well, you know, borderlining on fabulous is my party line, mate. Just give us a little bit of background about yourself. How did you wake up? How did you get into activism?
I think it was around in 2005, 2006 that I found out about, I think Loose Change was the first film that I watched, and I've just forgetting 911 anyway, I've been doing just doing the street action for just over 1.5 years now. Yeah, so that's kind of my history. Yeah.
She was another young guy, one of the millions who watched Loose Change like myself and sort of got angry and started investigating, and so it goes, right?
Yeah. I was initially I was just burning them myself and giving them to friends and family, but then I actually traced down people that were of like mind, and it's been really great working with the team in Wellington, which is
because they're easy to get along with than friends and family normally, huh? In this regard.
Yeah, I guess I think it's just that moral, will to do something to make the society a better world, which is great.
But I mean, how did your friends and family respond in comparison to just complete strangers and like minds you find out there?
Right, friends and family. Well, I don't think I'm one of those personalities that's great to convince other people. Some people can really easily, you know, they're good at selling their ideas. I'm not so good at that kind of thing, but I've given a lot of DVDs to people, and I generally just leave it up to them if they want to pursue it. I recently gave it to an old friend, with a couple of DVDs to one of my old friends at school, and I think he didn't watch it at all, and that seems to be the way it is sometimes. But
that's the thing, though. You do your part, and then it's just up to them, and whether they respond or not, it's up to them, isn't it?
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, I mean, if people aren't aware of a choice, how can they know which one to make?
Yeah, we don't lead a horse to water, as I often say. But,
and there's so many good people in the street that they're kind of naive, and like, you know, I've handed out DVDs to people, and they're kind of like, why are you giving this to me for free? You know, well, like, what's the catch? Where's the camera? Or, you know, everyone's
is
so,
it a,
sort of,
is it a religious DVD?
Yeah.
What's your group? Yeah. What's your group? Or groupism is often the mentality, I think. Yes.
Yeah. You have to be affiliated with something. It's a funny thing, you know, people say, oh, we need to set up a We Are Change style group in New Zealand, and there's a lot of people circulating this right now between Christchurch and Wellington and Auckland, and it's kind of like, for me, I'm just like one of these people who's, you know, steer away from groups, they always get infiltrated and then, you know, stuff happens, but if you don't have a group, then you're less likely to be effective because that's the way in which these sheep think, and then I think to myself, should we cater for the sheep and their sort of thinking, or should we go into a true, nuanced form of, waking up to madness?
Mm. Well, I'd never want to belong to any group that would have me as a member.
Yeah, I think groupism is a very it's not a good thing. But
it can be effective, though, nonetheless, you know what I mean? Like, it can be far more effective in meeting our means in pursuing our goals. You know, if we want to make a dent here in the whole collective consciousness in New Zealand, the best way would be to get 1,000 of us join a massive group and get the funds together and we start putting things on TV. But, on the other hand, it would have all the politics that goes with forming a group.
Yeah, working together is, I think, what forming a group is about. And the most important thing about having any group or is the leadership, really. Those people that are leading it, whether it's one person or a core group of people. But one of the things I think, whenever I give a DVD out on the street, or I always look for two qualities in the people. In a person, and the first one is that they need to be intellectually, interested in the topic and be able to understand it. And the second thing is that once they know the truth, that they will actually do something helpful. Because if people know the truth and their helplessness, they suffer from helplessness, or they're never going to do anything, or they feel it's better to join the dark side or whatever. It's really pointless to give the DVD to those people as well.
Well, that's a funny thing, early in 2000, well, in late 2005, early in my activism with 9/11, come across a couple of guys, and one guy in particular, very well researched, a huge amount of information. I, in fact, borrowed a hard drive at the time, was just like about a terabyte's worth of information, was just unknown to me. And he decided that joining the dark side would be a good idea. And so that's his path now. And it kind of blew my mind, because to this point, I haven't come across someone who, as an individual, knew as much as he did, to be honest. And it's funny, isn't it? You get that scenario when you have that scenario.
Yes, one of my friends is, old friends, I should say, has kind of joined on the dark side as well, and it's disappointed, but you just have to move on, I guess. And it's just about people that, good people that want to help society, I guess, and meeting up and networking with those people.
Yeah, and I think that wanting to help society is the most important point, because, well, there's plenty of good people out there, but not every one of them wants to help society. So there's no point trying to get all these good people together, because, hey, not every one of them are on the same wavelength of actually getting things done, having an end goal in sight. I mean, do we have an end goal for the government here? I mean, all we want really is a new investigation of 9/11, held back investigation of 9/11.
Well, we want more than that.
Oh, yeah, more than that.
That's a starting point. I mean, it has to go further than that. I mean,
the 9/11 is just the tip of the spear, because once you get that open, the implications are absolutely enormous, let alone all the different players involved, the intelligence agencies running the world would all be implicated, and things of this nature. So imagine if there was, like, say, a 9/11 or Nuremberg trial-esque type thing, right? And all these grand war criminals, all these elite bankers and everything like that, their heads are on the block. What then?
I tell you what would happen. They would contain an investigation. So even if it was an independent investigation, somehow, somewhere, they would find a way to contain it so that only maybe Condi and Bush and Cheney went down. Only they were executed or whatever. I mean, it would not go to David Rockefeller level. It wouldn't even get to it wouldn't even get to Henry Kissinger level. Or Richard, or Wolfowitz, or Pearl. I mean, it probably wouldn't even involve them. They would have it like a very narrowed. Yeah, it's a sad thing. I've wondered about that. I've wondered would 9/11 investigation expose the New World Order as a whole? No, then they'll just find another. Pull another false flag in terms of the investigation and stifle it from going too far. And what do you think, Jade?
I think a new investigation, I guess it would. It would just open up, make it more public and public knowledge, because exposing exposing who is doing it and also the tactic that is used, and there's been commonly used for a long time, exposing those people and those tactics is really key, and an investigation would help to do that, I believe.
Exactly.
And even just pushing the fact that we're pushing for an investigation is opening the door more.
Well, I think that what it would do, the bigger effect, I think, than the actual court proceedings would be, for years now, everyone knows the crazy conspiracists have been saying this. Then it turns out we're right, as we know we're right anyway. But you know, once it's confirmed in the public consciousness, we're right, then all the popular mechanics freaks and all the so-called scholars at the universities and all the shills and scum out there would be shown for what they are. You know, and people like us wouldn't let them run away from it. I would drag up a list of every person in this country, from Michael Laws to Kim Hill to people in the States, James Meggs at Poplar Mechanics to Bill Mayer, all Bill O'Reilly, all these freaks, and we would publicly shame and shame and shame them and say the blood's on their hands for the war that proceeded from 9/11. I mean, that would be the biggest effect, I'd say. It would make people go, okay, we were right, you were wrong, now who's going to pay for it, and how do we move forward from here?
Yeah.
I would think that any new investigation, you know, like you said, well, would definitely get stifled, which means that the whole methodology of investigating and who would do the investigating would have to change as well. Like, let's say, for example, the judge hearing it was like, say, Jason Burmes.
Well, I mean, yeah. This is a framework within which they operate, though, Vinny. I mean, it's what they would say, oh, you can't pass that for evidence that was, you know, beyond a certain, you know, that's beyond 10 years now. You can't call upon that eyewitness. They would have every sort of, operating within their little contrived framework would be the most difficult factor, I'd say.
Yeah, see, and this is the annoying thing. It's why it sometimes gets young men like us extremely angry. And I don't know. I guess as a guy, you kind of have this sort of violent tendency, sort of thing, and the urge comes to just smack them upside of the head and go, "Oi, shush! That is all nonsense. We are going to debate the facts. We are going to have a look at the evidence, and then we are going to hang some bloody people who murdered our citizens." Okay? Well, period. I don't care about any of
this. Yeah. I mean, Jade, have you called into Talkback on New Zealand radio here about 9/11?
No, I haven't. I've never really had much, a lot of confidence in the mainstream media. I don't know if Talkback is what you would consider mainstream, because
I'd consider it mainstream.
I haven't really done much with mainstream. I think TVNZ is probably a good target because they're New Zealand owned. You know, they're a national
government owned. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's I feel that we have some leverage in that, and it's interesting with
the CIA do too.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting with the Richard Gage interview with on Close Up. That was, you know, obviously was through TVNZ as well. I think TVNZ does cover more topics than the company ones. The company.
Well, Close Up's producer Ian Sinclair got in touch with me and a few others too, and he's been in touch a few times now. And they did a great interview with Richard Gage. For people who haven't heard it, it's about 7 minutes with Mike Hosking of TVNZ on Close Up interviews Richard Gage. Richard said it was his best mainstream media experience. And so I was really glad about that. I've since called him up and said, you know, we want to expose this global warming scam and everything else. And he's been a bit more reserved and sort of claimed he was investigating conspiracy theories. And then he'd never even heard of, he'd never heard of David Icke or Alex Jones or anyone. So I was kind of like, okay, you haven't investigated anything. I don't know what to make of these guys, but on New Zealand radio, I've come across some total arrogance without any knowledge, people in the shape of Kim Hill and Michael Laws. Unbelievable, man. Like, I just want to get on there and, I mean, we should call them up more often. I encourage any listeners in New Zealand to call those freaks up, because they're just devoid of anything, and you'll notice they'll slander you straight away. I mean, I'm calling them names, yeah, sure, but I want to have an open debate when I'm on air with them, and they'll just say, hey, this sounds like one of those moon landing theories.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear a lot of that, Jade?
I haven't actually, I've kind of kept clear of that with receiving any kind of demonizing is what I'd call it, with all these webs that they've programmed into society, like conspiracy and cult and all these kind of different words that they've programmed to demonize people. I guess it's probably because I don't approach those kind of venomous people, as I would, call them, those people that are programmed with venom, objectivate, and demonize certain groups of people, and so I guess I've just kept clear of those people, and really just been I've tried mainly just to network with good people, and that I believe would listen to me and would maybe have a 80% to 95% chance that they would actually listen and understand the situation, and whether or not they'll do something, but just to spread that knowledge.
I believe in, like, you join forces with good people who can listen to each other and easily debate ideas openly without all these walls. Like, that couldn't be possible. The government would never do that. I mean, I thought we'd broken through these walls like hundreds of years ago. I thought people realized they had power corrupts. And, oh no, it's different now. We're not living in medieval times, Will. You have to understand, we have the process of law now. This doesn't happen. Corruption doesn't happen. And it gets really old and really, really fast and tends to rub people like me up the wrong way, I tell you. We'll carry this on the other side of the break, Jade. Vinny's just off, I think. He's off.
I'm right here, bro.
he's gallivanting out in the woods somewhere, but
we'll be right back, folks. Right.
Is global, my tower secure, my cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, I'll let them all die in exasperation, have them all healed from the lacerations.
Live and alive, apparently. That rhymes with the same friggin' word. Welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the VinnyEastwoodShow.com, brought to you in partnership with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz. The world's happiest countries. Most of the nations atop the list are democratic, business-friendly, and boast strong social safety nets. Apparently, the list is top five. Norway, Denmark, Finland, Australia, and New Zealand makes it in there at number five. With very high levels of social cohesion and a first-place ranking in education, New Zealanders trust and help each other. The country ranks first in civil liberties. 94% found the beauty of their physical environment satisfying. Isn't it hilarious? And look at what they say about Australia.
It's relativism, though.
But look at what they say about Australia. Citizens of Australia trust their government.
Well, that's seen as a secure thing. You know, when you're projecting, going into business models, you always want a stable currency, right? And the best way to have stability is to have trust in government. And that's why they hate us so much. That's why these groups demonize us. That's why the ADL goes out and says, these people are, breaking down trust in government. They're destabilizing the country at its very core. They're undermining it. When in fact, the people sitting in the positions of power are undermining the U.S. Constitution. They're undermining the cornerstones of this country, even though some of them are democratic nonsense. But I mean, like, it's so patronizing, over and then you try and construct arguments and show people real demonstrable ways in which our liberties are being eroded. Like, we have a search and surveillance bill here being on the table right now. When Parliament comes back on the 8th of February, they're going to be voting as to whether they can put cameras in the homes of New Zealanders without us knowing. And if I remove the camera from my house when they put it in to surveil me, as they will, then they can take me to court for destruction of their property. Little freaks. They can come in your house and surveil you. And we have the best civil liberty adherence on the planet. Are you kidding me? And then these, and then so then these layperson freaks who just read like the Women's Weekly and, you know, top 10 91.8 FM hits or something, they're just going to reply, "Oh, look, didn't you see that article? Don't you read the paper? We're the best in the world. We have the most social cohesion and the most beautiful government on the planet." Well, what do you think of these perceptions, reality people, Jade?
Yeah, it's all programmed, and mainstream media is just a big industry, really. But it is losing its ground. It is losing its people are losing confidence in it. I would say intellectual people, people that think more deeply about these things are losing confidence in it. But your average Joe or average person who doesn't care, who feels that they're living the good life and they don't need to know about anything else, they're willfully programmed by this.
So just keep bending over, don't they?
I have a good example to add here for our Rush FM listeners. There's this group started up on Facebook called Bring Back Backbeat FM and that kind of thing. And talk about all the things that I do on this group. And one of them said, I'm not really caring. And end off, quit having you cry, I'll be gone now. And I said, sorry, did I hurt your feelings? Didn't mean to offend you. The reason why our society is so messed up, full of corruption, lies and evil, is because people like you, who don't care. You are the worst kind of apathetic scum that has ever existed, and your kind will drive this country to ruin with your mindlessness. Try caring once in a while. Maybe lay off the Coca-Cola and artificially sweetened stuff and stop watching TV, and you may turn into a different person that is worth the air you suck down. Until then, you are a cancer of this world. That was the end of the conversation. She didn't bother replying after that.
That would probably end most conversations, Vinny, I'd say. Fair judgment there. But,
Jeepers creepers, I'm sorry.
You know, and for the people out there who think that's too harsh, little babies, 50 million dead babies since 1973, that's harsh. Killing a million Iraqis plus... That was from Reuters, January 2008, a million Iraqis dead to date. That's harsh. Hard talk isn't too far. It isn't going too far. People say this is not peaceful protest when you use words like scum. It is peaceful. Anything nonviolent is peaceful.
By very definition.
And so this is peaceful. Peace is saying that John Campbell and Michael Laws and the heads of New Zealand media and the heads of British media and the heads of American media are scum. Like, by definition, sellout freaks who would rather have a new Jaguar and Aston Martin than a free country. I mean, that's what it comes down to. If you've got a third of the population listening to you every night, and you have the potential to shift opinions and to take power away from elected officials by way of shifting opinions in society, and you don't use your position for that good, I don't care who they've got behind them with a gun to their head. You either step out the job or you do your job. Or you get abused by people like me. I mean, there's going to be more of us soon. You won't be able to shut us all up.
Well, yeah, and I think that's the whole point of the show, really, is to propagate that a little more, because we don't have, I don't know, what about you, Jade? Have you ever heard of any other truther shows on the air or on TV or something like that, like Real Truthers? Because I haven't seen any. Not in this country.
No.
I don't even like the term truther, but, like, is it anyone real telling anything real about?
No, not in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Well, it just shows why it's just so necessary that we do this show, isn't it? You know, it kind of spurs me on because nobody else is doing it. Yeah. And that was the reason I went out with the camera a couple of years ago and started filming all the activists and making all those videos, because nobody else was doing it. And it's a pure reason, you know.
At the very least, I just want debate. I mean, what do you think, Jade? I mean, shouldn't we have public debate? Shouldn't it be public knowledge to know the difference between capitalism and communism, for instance? I mean, what do you think? I've seen some of your comments online. I'm across the net all the time, buddy. So I've seen some of the stuff you've written about Marx and about the Zeitgeist movement. But just as much as we might disagree with them, just the discussion of ideas, I think, is a good thing. I mean, why do you think that's so lost today in society?
Basically, it comes down to capitalism. I think. Capitalism is a few different definitions, you know, by different standards. But in the end, I would describe it as a system where people are working for money, and those that have the capital, money is capital, as well as physical assets, capital. Those when people just accumulate physical assets endlessly, money and physical property, then what happens is that some people get a lot of capital and keep acquiring more and more, and becomes a disparity between those that have more capital and those that don't have capital. In New Zealand, it's great that we have a minimum of standard. You know, we can go on the dole or whatever, but I mean, it's never the solution. And
well, for me, just to weigh in on what you said so far, there is nothing wrong with money per se, because it's just a representation of goods traded on an open market, supposedly. And for me, there's nothing wrong either with one man getting a leg up on another, so to speak. You know, there's the problem I see it is people cheating. There's actual con artistry cheating embedded at the very roots of society, issuing fiat currencies. Now, that's the problem. It's where the bankers are able to integrate into society. So, like in a game of blackjack, you know, the banker isn't a player. In this society, the guys issuing the currency that we're indebted to people should be rewarded for their labor. Yeah, but then if a bunch of people from China are willing to come here and work for $6.95. Obviously, you know, if someone's poor because they're starting off a business and the government's bloody got all this tax leveraged against them, then they're going to go for the cheapest labor, and it's just a dastardly circle. For me, the parasite in the picture is the government, because they're just a real estate agent, slimeball, middleman in every form of transaction that goes on. Whereas I say we don't need them. We're smart enough, if we just weren't so lazy, to run our own lives.
Yeah, I don't think the politicians are. I think New Zealand government is pretty good to some extent, but it's my personal opinion that the hierarchy is that the CEOs and multinationals that are in New Zealand, and those people that are investing in those multinationals, they are really the ones in control of the economy. They operate with politicians to get power and to change legislation, you know, to help the economies of their organizations, their multinational organizations. To get people into.
Sure. I mean, this has all happened after the sort of the original sin, right? I mean, these people just didn't get to this point overnight. But the way I see it is, if it were outright capitalism, it would be fair in the sense that the best ideas should win. So the best solutions for, you know, an internal combustion engine should find their ways onto the production line. The best solutions for any given problem should win. But then what we see here is cabals of corrupt individuals who form into certain groups, have certain secret societies backing them, exploiting, pushing out, or killing off competition. You know, that's what we see, and this isn't capitalism. This is a form of fascism. This is a form of cronyism, really.
Yeah, I've never played The Sims, but I heard that there was a game went online of playing The Sims, and what happened is that some people, The Sims game, video game, where you kind of simulate living as a human being, and what happened is that very quickly, in this virtual model, some people got very wealthy very fast, and they accumulated all the resources, all the all the assets, and then the rest of the people, they basically got reduced to, you know, to paupers or beggars. They had nothing. I think that capitalism, by that nature, is like that. But if we do put restrictions on the accumulation of wealth, so people can't accumulate basically the whole monopoly board, if we have those kind of restrictions, then it can work.
It's an interesting debate, but see, this is exactly it. This very debate we're having on air here, folks, is exactly what society needs to have, exactly what people need to be doing from age 18 or before. I mean, it's just understanding these things and nutting them out, because if we don't try and work them out, these other guys are just going to have their way. But see, on that particular point, I don't agree with who's going to legislate the upper limits. You see what I mean? And then you have corruption within that power institution, who's able to impose their will on the most wealthy people in society. How powerful they've then got to be. This is the problem. This is the problem with it. It becomes an arms race. And what I feel is that if someone can accumulate more money on the monopoly board than someone else, good on them. What I don't like, though, is the actual cheating. It's not that it's just playing a game, someone's going to get it more. In a capitalist system, you're going to have a middle class. You're going to have people with speedboats and V8 Commodores, you know. You're going to have a middle class. And some of those people, see, this is my faith. I have faith that people are generally good. And some of these wealthier people are going to help the poor, regardless of legislation, telling them to. Some of these wealthy people are going to start campaigns. You know, if we've got a problem here with, I don't know, some sort of animals being killed off, some wealthy people are going to put money into those funds to, you know, just individuals funding aspects of society that they feel need it. Someone wants to give $10,000 to help Vinny's show because he likes it. He can do that. And wealthy people have to spend their money too, and that drives industry, and that feeds the middle class. And then you're always going to have some losers. All I'm saying is this fractional reserve cheating system has more losers and less winners. And that's
the reality. Yep. There's more losers than there are winners. It's not a zero-sum game. It's a -1 game. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. We'll be right back, folks.
We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Tino Ranga, Tino Tonga, we don't own the banks. The parliament does so where do you ever stand? They paying their bills off your back with hefty tax demands. Misleading our youth with alcohol, TV, contrabands. So kids act up and disturb our community. Uninformed public then consents to a planned absurdity. What?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com, broadcasting live from the sunny slave capital, Auckland, New Zealand, and the fabulous Fortress Fluoride Head Paradise. Welcome back. And also welcome back to our very special guest, Jade Tuckwell from 9/11 Truth in Wellington. Jade, welcome back to the program.
Jade. Yeah, just finishing where we are, just carrying on where we left off during the ads, we were talking the Zeitgeist movement and, of course, communism. Because they're kind of interrelated there. I've said it before, the biggest disagreement I have with Zeitgeist, apart from all the occult references, is the fact that Peter Joseph believes we come into the world as a blank slate, that we have no innate desires or drives, and that everything is a result of conditioning. So he's even more of a conspiracy theorist than I am, because I think we're conditioned, but he's like 100% conditioning. But at the same time, he denies the New World Order exists. And so he thinks less of a power establishment exists than I do, but more conditioning occurs than I would say. Funny how that can make sense. Maybe only a Zeitgeist follower can understand that. Jade, what do you think?
Yeah.
What do you think, Jade? Come on.
Hey there, Jade.
Yeah, after watching his, the very last, yes, I am here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, just.
Okay. Just after watching his last film and also listening to the Alex Jones interview of him, I just feel that he's less of, I feel he's less of a threat than I, initially thought he was backed. He is backed by bankers, and it may still be that way, but I just think that the amount of exposure he's done of some real issues, I believe, and although his theories and his direction seem quite wrong and not very helpful, I see that he's an intellectual. He's a very intellectual person, and and I saw a number of parallels between him and Karl Marx, one of the things about Karl Marx is that he never established himself while he was alive, and it was only his theories were resurrected by capitalists who then used his theories to promote this new tyrannical system of communism or Marxism or whatever, which Marxism doesn't work.
Because they were funded by the same bankers.
But basically they were resurrected his ideas. So possibly the same thing may happen with Peter Joseph. But I just feel that Peter Joseph, I don't agree with, the direction he's going, but at least he's stirring people's minds, and he's a really good director, and the movie's made a really good... I disagree with...
He's a good movie maker. I mean, he can make some creepy intros, that's for sure.
Promoting the idea of, any moral issues. Yeah.
But morals don't exist to him. It's all conditioning. Yeah. This is the funny thing. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have any morals, really, which is kind of like, why are you doing it then, Peter? Yeah. I'd like to ask him why he's even doing this. If he wants to help society, where does that idea come from? Is that part of his conditioning? I mean, it's just all a big, it's all a bit of a misnomer for me. It's kind of like saying humanity doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Well, I say my life doesn't have an effect on me kind of thing, it's just.
It's really, like you say, he's intellectual, and I think that's what I don't like about him.
Yeah, that's right. Will doesn't like intellectuals, ladies and gentlemen.
No, well, I just don't like these guys who sit back and pontificate about everything. I don't know.
They don't get their hands dirty, you mean?
They treat us like lab rats here, and Peter Joseph would just be like right now listening, just going, that little, I don't know. But the way you listen, the interview, with him, he's like the Cambridgeite versus the angry Texan, and he's real smart, and I find him patronizing, but... personalities aside, because I don't like people focusing on personalities, I think his message is just, I think it's nuanced for the yuppies, which is good because at least it gets some of the yuppies thinking.
Yeah.
And so I like them existing. I don't think they're dangerous because I don't think they have that much merit, to be honest. But I like the fact that they at least get people thinking and debating these things. And it should exist in a free market. These ideas, should all be out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's cool that there's at least more material going out. I mean, I recommend that people watch Zeitgeist, even if they don't agree with it, and watch movies like Kymatica, Esoteric Agenda, Endgame. There's a whole myriad of different films out there, Loose Changes.
What's Money Masters?
Money Masters is fabulous. What in the world are they spraying? Also another good one. It's the thing, right? You can inform yourself exponentially quickly with documentaries. That's what really woke me up, because I watched like hundreds of documentaries in a very short period of time. And it was just like every day, a new documentary.
And think about also running a society by empiricism alone, by empirical scientific facts alone. Think about it. We have a little thing called love in this world, a little thing called compassion. that can't be broken down yet scientifically. So what happens if you then run a society by the efficiencies of science alone? What do you think happens?
We don't know. Because it's a really crazy, confused world out there, and maybe we don't have... Maybe we don't have the information to make all the decisions that we need to, and I'm pretty sure that the heart and the brain need to be included in the decision-making process. Thanks very much, Jade Tuckwell, for coming on the show with us today, and you have yourself a wonderful rest of your Saturday, mate.
Thank you, Jade.
Yep, it's been a pleasure.
Cheers, mate.
Yep, thank you.
Here he goes. Jade Tuckwell, ladies and gentlemen, from NZ911Truth.org. We'll be back next hour. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you go changing.